Romans chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 15 through 21. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from the one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And may God bless to our hearing the reading of His Word. Aware that the early church, back during the time of the Roman Empire, had to meet in the catacombs of Rome. Now, the catacombs was that sewer system underneath Rome, and in order to protect themselves, they had to meet together in the sewer system, down in the dark caverns of the sewage system of Rome, and they had to, at times, use strings to find their way out of those sewer systems. They would have a set of strings that people could hold to in the dark and walk down to the meeting places. And then after the meeting, they had to follow that string all the way back out to the daylight. We need such a string with this passage right here to find our way through it, because it's a difficult passage, because it is a hard passage. But all people stand in their representative head. We are either in Adam and on our way to spiritual death, or we're in Christ. And in Christ, we are given eternal life. His life becomes our life. And the first Adam and the Lord Jesus, who is called the last Adam, have much in common. If you'll look back in verse 14 of Romans chapter 5, just sort of to refresh your memory, verse 14 of Romans chapter 5, we read, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam." That is, that's a pretty simple thing. It sounds complicated, but it really isn't. From Adam to Moses, there was no law. And remember, the law condemns us. It reveals that we're dead and in need of life. It reveals that we need a Savior. But from Adam to Moses, there was no law. But people still died. Even though they had no law to break, they had not sinned in a similar way to Adam. God gave Adam a law. Remember? He said, "Adam, don't eat of the tree. Because when you eat, you're going to die." But for the rest of those people who lived from Adam to Moses, they didn't have a law. Yet they still died. But it says here, who is a type, talking about Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. Now the word type, remember, is the word tupos. It means imprint. Thomas used that same word. Remember, he said, I will not believe that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead unless I feel or see the nail prints in his hand. That's the word tupos. And he said, unless I see the imprints in his hand. That is, he was looking for the scars. Because if there were scars, there was going to be a nail. Imprint. The word type means imprint. Try to hammer a nail. Sometimes I miss the nail and hit the sheetrock. And you can tell where I've been just by looking at the imprints of the hammer. Well, when you see the imprint, you know about the hammer. And so Adam was, his life is an imprint of the life of Jesus Christ. They have much in common. Both of them, for instance, were firsts. Adam was the first man of his kind. Jesus Christ also was a first. He was the first man of his kind. And Adam produced a civilization of people. And Jesus Christ likewise is going to produce a civilization of people. So they have a lot in common. Adam started the physical fallen generation. Jesus Christ started a spiritual redeemed generation. Now, verse 15 is where we're going to start today. And we need to find that little thread, that little rope to get us through this. Verse 15 says that the types of Adam and Christ stop right here. There's going to be no more types. Beginning in verse 15, there's going to be no more comparison between Adam and Christ. There are going to be contrasts. Comparisons are not the same as contrasts. Comparisons are how things are alike, what they have in common. But contrasts are how things are different. How is Jesus Christ different from Adam? And this is the thread that will get us through this passage. The effect of Christ's work is highlighted by the phrase, much more. This is what Adam the first did to us, but here's what Jesus Christ has done for us, much more. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we really need to understand the first Adam and how we fell in him, how we're connected to him, because then we can understand how we're connected to the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. But Father, I pray today that we might see the much more in Christ, the much more that has been accomplished by Jesus Christ than that which Adam the first produced. Help us to understand that and make sense of it. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's look at verse 15. We read, but the free gift, that's the gift of eternal life, is not like, notice that, if you have a pen, underline that, not like the transgression. The free gift is not like the transgression. And I would ask the question, what do you mean, Paul? And then he says, for if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. The effect of Adam's sin, we're all familiar with. It's death. What about the effect of Christ's work? Look in Hebrews chapter 2 just a moment. There's a contrast here. The effect of Adam's death gave us death. But what about the effect of Christ's work? The much more. Hebrews chapter 2, look in verse 14 and 15. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same. Now notice, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Now look in verse 15. Here's the much more. and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Death is man's most feared enemy. It robs us of our friends, of our family. It robs us sometimes of the members of our church family. But the much more of the last Adam is that he freed us from the fear of death. The death of Jesus Christ canceled out the death of Adam. So that releases us from that fear. 1 Corinthians 15, look in verse 25. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. Now look in verse 26. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. In John chapter 6, verse 39. This is the will of the Father. I'm reading John 6:39. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose how many? Nothing. But should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have what kind of life? Everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. The much more that Jesus Christ accomplished is he abolished death. Now we have no more fear of death. In Adam all die, but in Christ shall all be made alive. That's much more, isn't it? That's a tremendous contrast, much more. Now look in verse 16, Romans 5, 16. And the gift, that is the gift of eternal life, is not like that which came through the one who sinned. That's Adam the first. For the judgment which came from the one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. One sin brought the condemnation of many, right? One act. Man, that one act produced billions and billions of sins. If one sin brought condemnation, what would billions of sins produce? I would think, in my mind, billions of condemnations. Wouldn't you? Not so. Because of the much more in Jesus Christ. Billions of sins provided the occasion for Christ to bring the gift of justification. That's what Paul is saying here. I started a fire in the yard at Papa's one year. It was burning leaves, and one match, I started the fire. Boy, did I start a fire. Just when I didn't want it to happen, the wind blew. And the flames, boy, they came. That one leaf began to become thousands of leaves, and they were burning. And you know what I was trying to do? I was trying to stomp it out with my feet, right? And I was stomping the fire out. Well, Papa, being the wise man that he is, he ran to the water faucet, hooked up the hose, pulled the hose out there, and he put that sucker out. That's what Paul is saying here. One act, Adam, one match, started the whole forest to blaze. But the one act of Jesus Christ put it all out. That makes it plain to me. Put it all out. He abolished all of those sins. So that's the much more. Adam the first, one act, sins. Adam the last, one act, did away with the sin. Look in verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more, those who receive abundance of grace. Notice that grace has to be received. God has been gracious to man in Jesus Christ. But that graciousness is going to be provided only to those who receive it. Christ's death is sufficient to pay man's sin debt forever. But it's efficacious only, that's a big word, isn't it? It means it's effective only to those who believe. It's not going to be effective to those who do not believe. They're going to be facing God's judgment. So when Jesus died, he did enough to put out the fire. But only those who receive grace, only those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are going to be saved. So that's the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Notice that righteousness from God comes as a gift. A gift is something you don't earn, you don't work for. I love Christmas for that very reason. Not just because it's my anniversary, I love it for that reason too. And it's my birthday. Yeah, I like that too. I'm liking it far less the older I get. And Christmas time, it's the birthday celebrated of my Savior. ABC. But the greatest gift offered to man is the gift of righteousness. Remember, we need a righteousness to have eternal life that we do not have. And God's law reveals to us that we're not right. We've sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God provided that righteousness in Jesus Christ as a gift. We can receive the gift of righteousness by faith in Him. That's precious truth. So He says, the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Now don't lose the forest for the trees. Don't miss the point. Don't let go of your little rope here. Adam the first did this, but much more Adam the last did this. And he canceled out Adam the first. Much more. Now here's the much more. In Adam, we receive an old flesh and blood birth. We're born once. How did we receive that birth? We just breathed, didn't we? We took a breath and we began to cry. We became a living being. We're born once. Much more, in Christ, the last Adam, we receive a new birth. We're born again, spiritually. So much more. In Adam, that is Adam the first, we had an old righteousness that is condemned by God's law. We mentioned that. But much more in Christ, the last Adam, we receive a new righteousness. In Adam, we had an old relationship connected to the realm of Satan as children of darkness. But much more in Christ, we become a child of the living God. And as the Bible calls, children of light. In Adam, we were citizens of an old planet, an old earth that's destined to perish. But much more in Christ, we are citizens of the new heaven and a new earth. We have a new citizenship. We're just pilgrims and strangers here. We're just passing through. We don't belong here. This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. That's the much more in Christ. And in Adam, we were imprisoned in an old body that is destined to die and perish. This old body is on its way out. I'm sure you realize that, some of you more than others. But much more in Christ, we are ordained by God to receive a new body, fashioned by God to live forever. Listen as I read the 1 Corinthians 15 passage in your hearing. Listen to these words. Boy, it's good stuff. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is the natural body, and there is the spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the man of dust, we will also bear the image of the heavenly man. It's coming. This new body. That's the much more in Christ. Adam, the first, we're tied to him. But in Christ, much more, we're guaranteed a new body, one that doesn't get sick, doesn't get tired, living on a brand new heaven and a brand new earth. But to me, the greatest much more is in Adam, we were fated to spend forever in a place called hell, to perish forever. But much more in Christ, we are destined to reign with Christ in His heavenly kingdom. That is, we have a home in heaven now. Verse 18. Let's finish it up. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, that's the death and resurrection of Christ, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Now, when we read that second all men here, we know we don't believe in universalism. We don't believe that the benefits of Christ's death and resurrection are going to be passed on all everybody. Not everybody's going to be saved. That's why I said earlier, though Christ's death was sufficient to pay man's sin debt in full, all of Adam's race, it is effective only to those who believe. He that believes on Him is not condemned. But he that believes not is condemned already. Why? Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's what divides the human race. Those who believe in Christ, those who do not believe in Christ. But remember that belief is not just believing that Jesus, there was a man named Jesus who died on the cross and rose again. No, that belief goes a little bit further. This belief is a trusting. Those who trust Him, like you're trusting that pew to hold you up. You place your faith in Him. You believe in Him. You trust Him for life. And when you do that, God gives you life. Verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, that's the death of the cross and the resurrection, many will be made righteous. Notice the many there. Not all, many. Verse 20, moreover, the law entered that sin might abound. See, the law is not a bad thing, it's a good thing. It's a good thing because it gives us the information we need. The law tells me I'm a sinner. The law tells me I cannot be right before God by my works. I cannot be good enough. Why? Because the law demands absolute righteousness. I can't do that. I missed it. I've already sinned. It's too late. So the law tells me I'm a sinner, but it doesn't stop there. Aren't you glad? The law points to the cross. Points to the Savior. The law says you're condemned, but the law can't give you life, but it points you to one who can give you life. Moreover, the law entered, it entered the plan of grace, that sin might abound. That word abound is an interesting word. It might be stirred up. Donald Gray Barnhouse used this illustration, and I love it. I used it in India when I was there. But if you go out here in a drainage ditch, somewhere around here behind my house, that drainage ditch, when it's full of water, take a little glass, dip you out some water, you look in it, it's got all kinds of little things in there floating around, right? All kinds of little debris, mosquito larvae, I guess. And you can see them right there in the water. Yeah, I wouldn't want to drink it, would you? But then you set it down on the windowsill for a couple of hours. What happens? All the debris settles where? To the bottom. Now, the water looks pure, doesn't it? It looks good. And there are many who feel themselves to be moral before God, and, you know, we're not bad. We're going to make it to heaven because we're moral people. But then the law comes. Picture the law being like a spoon. And if you put the spoon in the water and you stir it, what happens? All the debris comes up and you begin to see that it's not pure water. Well, the law is like that. The law stirs up our sin, that sin might abound. So now we know we have a need. We know we've fallen short of the glory of God. And we know that we need to flee to the cross. Is that not amazing? So the law is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Continue. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So that as sin reigned in death, so even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Again, the contrast. Sin abounded in Adam, grace in Jesus Christ. Much more, much more. That's all we see in this passage. Here's Adam over here, bad news, but much more in Christ. That's the contrast I want you to see. My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. It is well with my soul. You're one of two places this morning. You're either in Christ or you're in Adam. In Adam all die, but in Christ shall all be made alive. And my question is, are you in Christ? Many of you were praying for Quinn as he was getting on an airplane here recently to fly to Orlando, Florida. I told you to pray for my son. That plane, its destiny had already been determined. That plane was to go from Birmingham, Alabama to Orlando, Florida. It was to leave at 7 o'clock from the airport in Birmingham. So if my son was going to go on that plane to Orlando, Florida, he had to be on that plane. He had to be in the right plane. So I'm praying, well, you hope you get there in time, you know, you get through customs and you get on board, because when you get in that plane's destiny is now Orlando, Florida, so your destiny is determined by that plane. You know, that's true with the two Adams. If you're in Adam the first, your destiny has already been determined. You will die. You're destined for hell. But if you're in Christ, you got a new destiny. You're destined then for life and heaven. So my question is, are you in the old Adam, Adam the first, or are you in Adam the last? You say, well, how do I get in Adam the last? How do I get in Christ? You trust it. You believe in it. Have you done that? Father, we love you and we thank you for your love to us expressed in Jesus Christ. And Father, how grateful we are that you did the most for us long before we were ever here. We came into the world having our sins paid for. But that was not put to our account until we trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. We did not receive the life that we need until we trusted Christ as Savior. We did not receive the righteousness that we needed until we trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. And Father, thank you for the knowledge that the moment we trust Him, you place us in Christ. And in Him we receive His life, His righteousness, and His destiny becomes our destiny. And Father, I pray that every person in this room has been positioned in Christ. And they have been the recipient of the much more in Christ. Father, when Adam started the blaze, the fire that consumes the earth, Jesus Christ on the cross put the fire out. He extinguished the blaze and He offers life to those who will trust Him. And Father, I pray that life would be had by every person in this room. And I pray that we would become communicators of the gospel. We would share the good news of the much more in Christ to other people. Thank you for what we're learning. In Jesus' name.